it would be all right with me if that song was sung every Sunday to just to remind us how important Christ was for us and the job that Mary did. From the book of 2 Thessalonians, the second chapter, 13th following verses, we read this. Paul says, "But we ought always to thank God for you, brothers and sisters, loved by the Lord, because God chose you as first fruits to be saved through the sanctifying work of the Spirit and through belief in the truth. For he called you through this, our gospel, that you might share in the glory of our Lord Jesus Christ." Dear God, we come to you today to thank you for allowing us to speak and that you do hear our prayers and answer them when prayed properly and according to your will. So give us strength today. We thank you for the victories we've seen lately, the good health and the returning of different ones, the continuing with those who are taking care of them, nursing for them, providing their needs, for the surgeries that are coming up, and for the time of recovery. Bless them all. Give them strength and courage. We ask, Father, that you bless our nation, the men and women who are overseas, both the missionaries and then the military, and the families that care for them back home. Bless our first responders, those who are defenders of the truth and of safety. Pray, Father, for the ability to speak the truth and speak it in freedom. And bless our congregation as we go out from today to be missionaries of the gospel throughout all the world and be with the speaker. I pray in Christ's name. Amen. They say when you're speaking to someone, certain words you should never use, such as never, always, those type of things. Those, there's hardly a never and there's hardly an always. But yet Paul brings these words out to us because they have a meaning. We ought always to thank God for you. Do you have friends that pray for you? And even more, I do believe, do you pray for other friends? I don't think it would have been important if Paul, it would have been important because Paul mentioned, let's say it right. Paul, the great apostle, that gave us more than half of the works in the New Testament, says he prays for others and entreats them to pray for him. How, if it's that important for a man who was stopped by Christ on the road and converted, Saul, why dost thou persecute me? Then it's important for us. Do we take advantage? Now, next week, I got a whole sermon written about New Year's Day and start of the new year. And all that. I'm not going to talk about that today. I want to talk about God's relationship with us and what we should be doing, not just on New Year's Day and New Year's week, but all of our life. And Paul talks about prayer. I truly believe prayer has a lot of influence. We have people in this congregation, even today, that we've been praying for. And others around the country that we've been praying for. We hope to entice their prayer as well. And we're thankful that God does hear our prayers. Did not Jesus himself pray a lot that's recorded? And probably a lot more that isn't recorded. On the night he was to be betrayed, he was praying up in the Garden of Gethsemane, Mount of Olives. It's that important. Why should we not take that example? We always thank God. We're really good about it. You get a Christmas gift and you write a thank you note or a graduation gift. We're getting a gift every day. It's called life. Should we not be thankful to the giver of that life and the protector of our lives and our freedom? Paul thinks so. We ought to thank God for you, brothers and sisters, loved by the Lord, because God chose you as first fruits. We're special to God. He gave us an opportunity to become his sons and daughters, brothers and sisters to each other, and brothers and sisters to Jesus himself. Now, if we're picked that special, how blessed are we? And do we appreciate it? Far too often, we take the attitude that was mentioned to us in Gone with the Wind. Remember what she said? Fa-di-da, tomorrow's another day. We all know tomorrow may not be another day. Tragedies can happen. Several of us have been sick, heart attacks, surgeries, major surgeries, on and on like that. Tomorrow's not guaranteed. Today is the day we have. We should learn to be happy about this day and to use it with all the talents and abilities we have. Then we've got nothing to apologize to God for, because He gave us the talent and we put it to work. And I think the world is a lot more blessed. Can you say a lot more? If you're from the state of Kentucky, you can say a lot more. And I know 10 friends of mine that are here visiting today that are from the state of Kentucky. And after last night's game, we have a lot more to be blessed by. Go on, we'll go on from there. Don't get involved. Because God chose you as first fruits, those who were assigned to Him because we were obedient, to be saved through the sanctification work of the Spirit and through belief in the truth. So we just have to accept it. Jesus did all the work. Now, I know that some of you all drove yourself crazy ever since Thanksgiving Day. Got to buy this gift, got to buy that gift, don't want to forget anybody. Got to send Christmas cards. Got to buy a turkey or a ham or both. Got to get your frozen foods. I mean, particularly you ladies, my goodness. And if something else is going on in your life, it's even more. You have been busy. That's okay. God sort of gave us a need to work, and we're going to get into later on in the next chapter. God gave us a need to work, and we can put together our talents, and great things can happen. 175 birthday cards to Miss Hildy. People she never know or never will meet, but they cared about her when they heard about her special day. I'm not going to ask who's next for 90, for 100. It will be nice to you all about that. He called you to this sanctification through the gospel. Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. That word means good news. Don't you like good news? Don't you like to be excited when something good comes along? The storm passed you, the hurricane went somewhere else. There's a big storm up north and we're not there. That's good news. A lot of things. Do we appreciate good news? Or do we just say, well, I'm just lucky? I tell you one thing, I'd rather be blessed than lucky. And as Christians, I think we are blessed. Probably a lot more than we accept or appreciate. Well, we think we're doing it all by ourselves. So then, brothers and sisters, stand firm and hold fast to the teachings we passed on to you, whether by word of mouth or by deed. You join a group, and you're all gung-ho. And I don't care whether it's in elementary school, it's like the 4-H church, or it's some kind of a choir group, or you get selected, whatever it is. You join a group, and you get all gung-ho about it. And then it reminds me of Lee Hazelwood and Nancy Sinatra back in the 60s. You remember that song they sang together? We got married in a fever hotter than a pepper sprout. We've been talking about Jackson ever since the fire went out. So often in our lives, we let the fire go out and don't appreciate what we've been given. You ever been to a campfire? If somebody doesn't get up from that warm spot and throw another log on the fire, it'll soon ticker down to nothing. In our daily relationship with friends, with families, I mean, nowadays it seems so much easier. We got email. What do we do before email? Can we remember before email? Some of you may not. We wrote letters. I got a 2-page, hi, my friends, seriously, no kidding. Hi, my friends, here's what happened to us this year. And it listed every trip they took, every place they, everything but where they ate dinner every day, of the whole 2 pages. My grandmother used to get them. They were 10 and 12 pages long. Mimeographs, so a lot of other people got them too. But you rekindle it and you refresh. We went to our 50th high school reunion on October the 11th, Harold? October 11th. Now, some of these people I had not seen for 50 years. The day of graduation, we're out of there. Some of these people we saw a lot. And it was interesting, rekindling old memories. God wants us to rekindle our memories with Him every day. That's the study of the gospel, and that's the prayer time, sharing the good news. coming together in a worship time. We can sing the hymns. We can enjoy the good news of Jesus and how successful our friends are as well. We'll cry when they cry. We'll laugh when they laugh. We'll be praying for them. That is so important. And Paul pointed that out, that that is the will of God. We've come together to be successful in serving Him. Whether we hear the teaching by the word of mouth or by letter. And I guess today you can look it up on the internet and read about it too. May our Lord Jesus Christ Himself and God our Father, who loved us and by whose grace we are saved, be eternally encourage us with good hope. Encourage your hearts and strengthen you in every good word. And did you ever have a friend that saw you down and out? You know, you had that upside down smile and nothing seemed to go good day. What's so good about it? You know, all those type of things. And maybe they just said, it's good because I got to see you today. It's good because we're still alive. And you give some encouragement. Have you ever been picked up by somebody who talked to you like that and just helped you out? That's what Paul is saying we should do. Oh, folks, if you've never had a bad day in your life, that's what I thought, the laughter, yeah. That's going to happen. I believe his name was Simon Peter. And I believe three times in one evening, he said, I don't know this Jesus. I don't know this. He turned his back on Christ and he was a spokesman for the group. Or he spoke a lot one or the other. And we've all been betrayed by friends and loved ones. But yet, we could not give up if we've got God in our heart. Because He will get us through it. And we're not alone. As for other matters, he says in 3:1, as for other matters, brothers and sisters, pray for us that the message of the Lord may be spread rapidly and honored, just as it was with you. Well, then when we're blessed, we should bless others. And we should help them out and do for them. I know several of you all have been actively involved in mission work. Some of you have been in mission fields and worked for them, those who are in need. Some of you have given to our mission societies and helped them. And that's good. Because the missionaries are doing what we don't do. They're going over there and telling the word. They're living it by mouth. We're just in a support. And that's good for us to do. Because without the help and the assistance of those who have been blessed, how much harder will it be for it to be worked? Do you know where the fastest growing churches are in the world right now? Africa. Africa. Can you believe that? Africa. And it started with a few, but they're catching on because they're the ones that want to grasp it. There's a lot of countries that we would call backward countries, places we would not want to go to live, who still need to know about Jesus yet today. We should continue in our missionary work and in church camps and sending aid when there's problems with hurricanes or disaster. That is an obligation as well as a privilege that we have that are blessed. And we should do that and carry the good news of Christ one way or another. And pray that we may be delivered from wicked and evil people. For not everyone has faith. People picked on Paul. Paul who was bit by a snake, poisonous snake, and slung it off. Paul who was shipwrecked but yet saved all the prisoners on it because he stood good for them. Paul who was stoned even unto death, run out of more than one city. Paul who, if you were reading his application, that's not a biography, and you were on a church board, you would not pick him as your minister for sure, what all he was into, what all happened to him. This Paul still wants prayer and concern for others. And never felt sorry for themselves. And I would guarantee you, you wouldn't have to drive 5 miles away from this building where you would find somebody in a lot worse shape than we are. Yeah, that could use help. Let's do that. Paul tells us. Pray that we may be delivered from evil and wicked people. Quite often, successful people, instead of being celebrated and exonerated, are victimized. well, they must think there's something special because they do this or they do that, or Joe Church Body, or so. You've been probably named, or at least heard names of Christians being picked on. Don't let it bother you. In the back home vernacular, there ain't but one judge, and he'll have the final say. And when we believe that, we will not let people get us down and hold us down, because we put God in control. God is in charge, and God will bless his people. We may not understand the blessings. And I would dare say that in the next 365 days, in 3 days, plus what, next year, that there'll be some tough times. We'll lose friends. We'll lose loved ones. There may be a war. There may not be a war. Whatever happens, let God lead us through it and be a participant in the good part and the joy and the happiness that's there. But the Lord is faithful. He will strengthen you and protect you from the evil one. Jesus talked about that. Deliver us not into evil, he would teach us to say. We may be harmed, and we may even be killed, or at least persecuted for what we believe in. But in the final of all the judgments, Jesus will walk up to us and put his arms around us, and we'll be able to see the holes in his hands. And maybe even if we get that close, the hole in his side, see the nails where were driven through his feet. And he'll say, well done, my good friend, my faithful servant, my obedient one. And all those things that we went through here on earth will not matter one bit. They'll be forgotten about because we are on God's side. We have confidence in the Lord that you are doing, and will continue to do things that we command. Paul told us what to do. Jesus told us what to do. Peter told us what to do. The writings are there from Luke and the rest of them. John the Revelator, all we've got to do is follow them. We don't have to create anything new. It's already there. It's already described for us. And if we're willing to obey, then we will be blessed. Trust and obey, for there's no other way to be happy in Jesus than to trust and obey. Remember singing that? Remember your grandma singing that one to you? I do. We can grow from that. May the Lord direct your hearts into God's love and Christ's perseverance. That perseverance, we don't hear about that much anymore. It just means hanging on and hanging on and hanging on and never giving up. And whatever hits you in the face, it just makes you stronger. It was Nietzsche that said, that which does not kill me makes me stronger. Let's find a way to become stronger and more active, because we're blessed. Then Paul changes the horse real quick, right in the middle. It says, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. That's a pretty good name. That's pretty powerful. He's backed up. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, we command you, brothers. Now, I can find nowhere in the Bible that God says, here's a suggestion for me. Seriously. Do this if you want to. I really don't care. It doesn't matter. Help yourself. No. The tablets, remember the 10 tablets, you know, and the 10 words? And we never call them God's want-to-dos. We call them the 10 commandments. He says this, we command you, brothers and sisters, keep away from every believer who is idle and disruptive and does not live according to the teachings you receive from us. Stay away from troublemakers. They're not going to lead you into good things. What did your grandmama teach you? If you run with the dogs, you're going to wake up with fleas. I forgot, some of you are from North Ohio River. You become like who you are with. How about that one? Did that work? There you go. Sorry to our northern friends. You become like who you are. You learn their words that they say. You learn the phrases that they use. You learn to get in a lot of trouble. There's probably a lot of young, innocent boys and girls who got in trouble because they followed their friends and didn't judge the right thing to do. Paul said, stay away from these idle people. These ones who try to lead you into evil and hardships. They're idle. They're disruptive. And don't live according to the teachings. He's writing to Christians who knew the teachings, who are being drug away by the popular crowd. For you yourself know how you ought to follow our example. Do you ever see something in the, call it your conscience if you wish, call it a little birdie whispering your shoulder, whatever it is. I can't go into a store. I don't think my wife even knows this. I cannot go into a store. And if somebody's knocked a sweater off or something's fallen on the floor, I can't walk by without picking it and hanging it back up. I don't know why. Because I'm not an organized person. You might know that. But that just bothers me. And if I go to Home Depot or Lowe's and something's in the wrong shelf, like it's a half-inch fitting and it's in the three-quarter bin, I have to put it back. It bothers me. I just follow the right example. Let's make our lives that way too. When we know it's wrong, we don't do it. When we know it's right, we must do it. Or our conscience will bother us. Don't say, well, let the next person do it. It's not my job description. I've heard that before. Above my pay grade, you've heard that before. That's just a weak excuse for saying, I don't want to do it. And nothing good comes out of that. He goes on to say, for you yourselves know, we ought to follow our example. We were not idle when we were with you. Nor do we eat anybody's food without paying for it. Paul said, I don't want to be a burden. Now, other churches, he gave them the right to give him the money, to pay for their way. But at this church in Thessalonica, he says, we'll take care of it. So you can't blame us for sponging off of you. On the contrary, we work day and night. This is where the term tent maker comes from. Paul and Barnabas were tent makers. They made tents. And they would go somewhere and they would set up work. And that's how they pay their way. So we work day and night that we wouldn't be a burden to you. We did this not because we do not have the right to such help, but in order we may offer ourselves as a model for you to imitate. Jimmy the Cricket. Anybody remember Walt Disney was in black and white before living color with that big turkey coming out? Peacock, with that big peacock coming out and all that. You remember that? I love Jimmy the Cricket. He was a theologian of the bunch. Be sure you're right, and then go ahead. Don't let fear grab you because everybody else is not doing it. Be a leader. Maybe some will follow you, maybe not, but at least you will be doing the right thing. That's what Paul is talking about. And don't let others judge you. Again, God is the judge. Not Judge Wapner. And not Judge Judy, and not Judge Roberts, whatever his name is, up with the Supremes, you know, the people with the black robes, not even him. Folks, God is our final judge. Be sure you're right and then go ahead. We did this, not because we do not have the right, but in order we are offer ourselves a model. For even when we were with you, we gave you this rule. Now, folks, you probably never heard this one before. Anyone who is unwilling to work shall not eat. Maybe that's why I like to work so much. Now, he's not talking about those who are past the age of work. He's not talking about those who are infirm. What do you cuss the word? Infirm. I like that word. Write that down for me. Infirm. He's not talking about those who can't. But working, taking care of ourselves, that's important. They say in the third generation of the richest people, the children and grandchildren and great-grandchildren are basically useless. So much has been given to them, they don't know how to do anything themselves. We like to show, what is that show we used to show? Downtown Abbey. Anybody watch Downtown Abbey? I love Downtown Abbey. Those people had somebody to dress them. The guys had said, I can't imagine paying somebody to dress me. Now, pick out my clothes, that's what Becky does. But to put them on me, I don't know. If you don't work, you don't eat. We hear that some among you are idle and disruptive. Idle hands are the devil's playground, is that what it is? Workshop, there you go. Now, some of you just need to go to the workshop and forget about the idle stuff. We need to keep busy. I carry a Sukidoo in my pocket. Y'all know a Sukidoo, don't you? Got them nine little numbers and nine numbers and crisscrosses and zigzags. Sukidoo, yeah. So now you know what I'm talking about, the Sukidoo. Yeah, okay. Well, I carry a Sukidoo in my pocket and a pencil and a notepad. It's in the other pocket. It's because I don't want to has nothing to do. And if it's a long traffic light, I just sukadoo until somebody behind me honks. When they honk, I act like I'm on the cell phone and I keep on going. We hear that some among you are idle and disruptive. What terrible thing to be described as idle and disruptive. They are not busy, but they are busybodies. Anybody know a busybody? Don't raise your hand, because all of you do. Second best TV show of all time. I'll show where I'm from, but that's okay. First best, of course, the Beverly Hillbillies. Nothing can be said. Second best, Hee-Haw. Hee-Haw. Remember the girls singing with Vanilla Hutton? We don't go around repeating gossip, so you better listen well the first time. Don't you know anybody like that? That just wants to gossip and tear things up, spread rumors and stuff. That's sad because it's destructive, and it just makes them feel better. Hoarders. Y'all seen that TV show, Hoarders? I love to watch that because that means I'm not the messiest person in the world. We hear those problems. You're idle. You're disruptive. They are not busy. They're busybodies. Such people we command and urge in the Lord Jesus Christ to settle down, earn the food they eat, have a purpose in life, think of good things and do good things and help others. It's not that much more difficult. Some people have more effort involved in not doing something than to go ahead and doing it, trying to escape the reality and the hope. As for you, brothers and sisters, never tire in doing what is good. That's in the 13th verse of the third chapter of the book of 2 Thessalonians. Let me read it again. Never tire of doing what is good, even if it's just intrinsic value, even if it just makes you feel good yourself, whether anybody notices it or not, it's still the right thing to do to help somebody. Now, some of you have been involved in athletics. We used to have at the University of Kentucky, where I won the ball game, I think, we used to have some friends that played ball, and they had what they called $50 handshakes. You ever heard of that? Yeah, we lost a lot of players because we weren't given $100 handshakes. But that's beside the point. What was I talking about? Oh, never involved in doing something good. Look for the positive things. Take special note of anyone who does not obey our instructions in this letter. Paul's saying, make a blacklist. Watch those people. They're going to harm you. They're going to hurt you. They're going to hurt the kingdom. Don't associate with them. You may have to do business with them. That's fine. But you don't have to be buddy buddies and best friends, because usually the bad rubs off on the good. Now, if you're strong enough and you can fight through it, give it your best shot. But Paul says, stay away from them. Do not associate, unless you really feel like it. No, I didn't say that, does it? Do not associate with them in order that they may feel ashamed. Put a case of shaming on them. How about that? Do you ever get accused of, well, I wish you could do what your brother does. I wish you were as good as your sister is. School teachers were terrible about that. You've seen that happen. Some of you are school teachers shaming people that way. Paul said, but warn them as you would a fellow believer. Don't pick on them. They're not your enemy. They're just on the wrong path. Try to guide them back without hurting yourself. That's our responsibility to do, because we've got the gospel in front of us. Now, may the Lord of peace himself give you peace at all times. In every way, the Lord be with you all. What a great goodbye Paul's making. May the Lord of peace, that's Christ himself. Many of the foreign gods, many of the evil gods, many of the fake gods, if we would, at least their leaders, claim violence is their path. I spoke in, was it Sunday school today? Or I was talking to somebody, I think it was. There is a new anti-Jewish war going on right now. Just yesterday, I do think it was. They went into a rabbi's house that were celebrating Hanukkah with machetes and started whacking. I don't know if any of them died or not, but just started harming the people. The bombings that are going on. The shootings of the police officer but in the Jewish bodega 2 weeks ago and killed a couple of Hebrews. Satan is working with anti-Semites. We, if we believe what God said in the book of Genesis, those who bless Abraham and his family shall be blessed. Those who curse shall be cursed. If we believe that, we need to be on the side of blessing and supporting Israel. I best remember, now I could be mistaken because I am from Kentucky, but I best remember Jesus was a Jew. Did anybody ever hear that before? Yeah. So we can't blame all Jews. God knows what we're saying to his people. The Lord be with you all. Actually, I read that in Kentucky. It's actually, the Lord be with all of you. I do apologize. I, Paul, quote, write this in regarding my own hand, which is distinguishing mark of my letters. This is how I write. The Apostle Paul, if you remember, was blinded by the light on the road to Damascus. And even when the scales fell off, it is said that Luke recorded most of the writing for him. And that Paul usually signed with a big X, like our great grandparents did who could not read or write. His identifying mark. He said, I give you an identifying mark. You know it's me. You know it's the way I do it. And I'm not ashamed of it. This is how I write. In verse 18, the final verse, the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with, it does say you all. Let me tell you, I think he meant it. He gave up his life as a very powerful and greatly learned rabbi to live a poverty-filled life of oppression. He did. But it was because he knew and loved Jesus. Now, I don't think any of us are going to go through what Paul went through. I prefer none of us have to be stoned and shipwrecked and bit by a snake and all that kind of stuff. But there will be hard times. But as I said a while ago, you remember going back when we were younger, maybe been gone a while, go to your grandma's house or even your parents' house, you get that big hug from them. That's going to be great in heaven when you get that big hug. Love you, brother. Love you, sister. That's what we're going to hear. And no matter what happens here, will be forgotten. But in my Father's house there are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. And I go therefore to prepare a place for you, that where I am there you may be also. And doubting Thomas said, Lord, we don't know where you're going. How do we know the way? Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. And no one comes to the Father but by me. It applies to us all, young or old, male or female, whatever the condition we're in. If you love Jesus, if you obey Jesus, if you follow Jesus, he's there waiting on us. Our hymn of invitation today, I did not write it down, Pam. 542. Shall we stand and sing our hymn of invitation? Hymn number 542, please.
Savior, like a shepherd, lead us. Much we need thy tender care. In thy pleasant pastures, feed us. For our use, thy folds prepare. Blessed Jesus, thou hast bought us, thine we are. Blessed Jesus, thou hast bought us, thine.